Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas with The Grapevine at SaverLife.com. And this past Friday, I was visiting some wineries in the Finger Lakes. Stopped by Billsboro, partly because they were going to be doing a virtual tasting with their dry rosé, their newly released one, a Meritage blend of dry rosé. And so I picked some of that up. Also, Albarino. They have that in stock, and got a range of wines, actually, quite a mix, including Opry, their dessert wine, and they had, for wine club members, which I'm a member, they had 2016 Syrah available, as well as the current vintage of Syrah. So, and they're expanding their patio, getting ready for their return of their wood-fired pizza and music, and just one of many wineries that are investing in their facilities, and especially in their outdoor facilities for this summer. Glenora has a new deck. Fox Run has a newly expanded deck. There's a bunch of these kinds of projects going on around the Finger Lakes, and also went over to Toro Run. Now, this is Cayuga Lake, the west side of Cayuga Lake, and Toro Run was purchased recently by Buttonwood Grove, and they're going to rebrand it. So it's the Toro Run name is going to go away, and they are selling off the wines. All for $10, except the sangria is $5, and they have a good range of wines. I brought back some Gruner Veltliner, some Cabernet Franc, some of the Fiesta del Toro, which is a Meritage-style blend, and they've got a dry rosé, they have a Pinot Noir Reserve, there's semi-dry and dry Riesling, there's a late harvest Riesling. So, but their website says that they are out of stock of the Cabernet Franc now, but that was the 2017 Cabernet Franc. So, anyway, I have to check the date of the one. I was assuming they still had it in stock, but the ones that I got may be 2018 Cabernet Francs, and they seem to think they had a couple weeks worth of those and a number of these other wines, selling them all for $10 a bottle, again, except for the sangria and a sweet red they call Momo. So Toro Run is going to go away, and they're going to specialize in Pinot Noir and Chardonnay as they start releasing their new wines. They've been making wine, I think, so I would guess this summer they would be releasing those, but I'm not sure. So it seemed like from tasting these, especially the Gruner Veltliner and the Cabernet Franc, were two of my favorites. $10 a bottle was a pretty great deal. And you can taste them and decide, you know, which ones you like. It's only an hour and 15 minutes from Rochester. A pretty weekend, a pretty day today to drive and get out in the countryside, and it's just the lakes were beautiful. Seneca Lake was largely calm, not mirror-like, although maybe it was in the morning, but Friday afternoon it was calm and just seemed to extend forever, 38 miles long. It's just an incredible view. So take advantage of this weather. Do some exploring. You can put the windows down in the car. If you have a convertible, you can put the top down in the car this afternoon. Maybe not this morning. It was 30 degrees earlier this morning, but it's going to be some lovely couple of days ahead. If you're going to visit wineries, I would check hours. Some are expanding hours. Shalestone announced that it's going to be reopening. They are usually closed for the winter, so this was not unusual. But they have pretty limited hours initially, and again, some wineries are expanding hours as we get towards April. A beautiful, beautiful time to go and explore. And the Gene Pierce from Glenora posted a note about the pasta and wine event that's on Seneca Lake last weekend. It was a very different event than they'd held in the past. One day only, it was Friday only. And instead of 1,200 guests that bought tickets, there were, I think he said 316. So tickets were a similar price. And actually the money from those events, most of it goes to the wine trail. So it's really the wine trail that loses out on many thousands of dollars of funding to do promotion and help to promote Seneca Lake wineries. So again, the event went off pretty well, I think. They were at least able to do something instead of people just going to whatever wineries they wanted to over the course of the what would have been Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This was just a Friday-only event with specific times at each of the wineries that you basically, when you bought your ticket, you got a schedule of which wineries you would go to and when. And so it was, I think, four wineries that you went to. And for the big wine trail events like Pasta and Wine, people probably tried to get to far more than that in a day. But really, I prefer the, you know, no more than four wineries in a day, personally. If you're going to taste and enjoy your time there, you know, trying to do six or eight wineries just is a headache. You know, it's kind of too much wine, too, unless you're spitting as you're tasting. It ends up being a lot of wine. So if you're going to try to do that, have a designated driver, because that wine adds up over the course of the day. So again, I'm glad they did it. I was thinking a couple weeks ago that maybe some of these big wine trail events would switch to this smaller format. And I suppose, you know, in the future, with the pandemic over, they could do a similar style to what they did on Friday and do it over 3 days, expand it some because it would be able to host more people at once. And then, you know, if they do 400 people on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday each, then, you know, they'll have sold the 1,200 tickets. It'll be interesting to see what they decide to do for 2022 with these big events. I imagine some of them will still stay big events as they have been in the past, but some also may switch to this kind of format, which is just more predictable for the wineries. I mean, it's totally predictable for the wineries because they know exactly who's coming and when. In the course of the day, and that makes staffing much easier. It also just spreads out the participants very efficiently, whereas when they can go to whatever wineries they want to, they try to spread out where people are with the big wine trail events by having people start at specific wineries rather than, you know, everyone showing up at the northernmost winery because that's closer to the population centers, you know, and working their way south. So they've been tweaking this over the years, but this, of course, was a huge change to do it this way this year. So, again, there are things that will come out of this pandemic that will, modes of doing business that will improve the experience for customers in the winery potentially. And again, you know, if you visit four wineries and have a great experience at each of those four, you know, why go to, you know, try to go to 8 or 10 wineries in a day and stand in lines and, you know, it's just a different experience. I mean, some people might think that is more fun. I'm more of the sit down, take your time, type of person. So, again, congratulations to the Seneca Lake Wine Trail and pulling all that together. Also, there was the Governor's Cup announced this past week, this is the best wine from the New York Wine Classic annual wine competition, which was judged this year by Beverage Tasting Institute, which I think is in Chicago, and in the past, it's been done by judges that were brought here to the Finger Lakes, but with the pandemic, they decided to have an outside organization do the judging, and Long Island really cleaned up this year. Specifically, Pindar and Pominock just did a phenomenal job. And the Governor's Cup. For Gewürztraminer, and so Pominock won best sparkling wine and best red wine, two major categories. Very unusual that the same winery would win two major categories, and they did a virtual awards presentation announcement, and I hope that is one of the things that continues in the future. I mean, obviously, do it in person for a lot of people, but also provide it as a online option for those that live in other parts of the state. It really worked quite smoothly. Sam Filler, the executive director of the New York Wine and Grape Foundation, introduced Kevin Zraley, one of the most famous wine educators in the world, and Kevin Zraley from Windows on the World, and he's written some of the most influential books in wine education, based in New York City, was virtually able to host this and introduce the winning wineries, Pominock One Winery of the Year, because of the number of awards that they won, not only those best of categories or best the so-called sweepstakes categories, but they also had a couple of other, one double gold and one gold medal for other wines. So they, and there were several other Long Island wineries, including McCall and Bedell Cellars, that won some of the best of categories. The Finger Lakes actually won 13 of the 25 categories. So these are like best Chardonnay, best Cabernet Franc, best, just different varietals. Finger Lakes did really well. The only major categories the Finger Lakes won, though, in spite of winning over half the general varietal categories, the Finger Lakes won best dessert wine for that was Boundary Breaks, their ice wine, and also Ryan William for their dry rosé. So, again, congratulations to Pindar and Pominock. I was, as I said yesterday, I was really hoping that a Seneca Lake winery would win the Governor's Cup this year, because right now is a critical time in the fight to keep the Bitcoin mining from expanding at the power plant on Seneca Lake. And they just, Greenidge Power just took out a full page ad, or large ad at least, in the Finger Lakes Times, touting how beneficial this Bitcoin mining was going to be to the region, which is, you know, it's pretty similar to the landfill in Seneca Falls, saying that they don't hurt tourism. How many people does it take to manage 30,000 automatically running machines. I did see an electrical company took out an ad thanking Greenwich for the business and how great it was that this expansion was going to take place. And yeah, it's great for that electrical company that's going to be installing those 30,000 computers. But in the long run, it's going to be noise and pollution that is brought to the Finger Lakes, relatively little in terms of taxes, and the environmental damage that's going on now at their current level of operation is detrimental. But to quadruple that and then do it for decades is so ridiculous. And this is just not the future of the Finger Lakes. So yet again, we have a big industrial project which needs to be squashed, and it's going to be a big battle. Check out Seneca Lake Guardian, SenecaLakeGuardian.org, and you can find out more details. There'll be probably some rallies and protests. There'll be lots of contacting our local representatives. Once again, it is a small community which is apparently or at least part of the community is in favor of this, and that's Dresden. But the big picture is this affects the entire lake, the entire region, and that's just not being acknowledged by anyone, not Greenwich, not by Dresden, this, and not by the DEC. This, and I did some math. I mentioned this yesterday. It's the scale of this thing that is so out of whack. It's crazy. This facility has a permit from the DEC to use up to 139 million gallons of water per day, which is an astounding amount of water. And they warm that water because they're using it to cool their machines, and then release it into a trout stream, which apparently the DEC has given them a waiver, because normally water can't be released that's over 72 degrees or something in that range, and they're allowed to release it up to 108 degrees and, you know, partly cook the trout. But they're going to do this every day. And that 139 million gallons of water is over the course of the year, 365 days of that, is equivalent of what's in Canisius Lake. It's actually more than what's in Canisius Lake. But it's hard to visualize what's in Canisius Lake. So I looked up water tankers, trucks that carry water, and they hold about 5,000 gallons, and it would take 27,800 of these water tankers to carry the water used each day by this power plant. Almost 28,000 water tankers, and those would reach end-to-end about 102 miles. That's what they're using every day. And that is insane. It really is. So I hope you'll consider getting involved. Hope you'll consider donating. And it's time to put these massive industrial projects to bed. You know, and the Finger Lakes has defeated several of them. The landfill in Seneca Falls is an ongoing battle, but this is the newest one. As someone said, it's like whack-a-mole. You know, you knock them down and up pop a couple more really nutty ideas, because land is cheap and water is cheap here in the Finger Lakes. And we're only beginning to realize how precious it is. And this company does not. And I hope that someone takes an ad out in the Finger Lakes Times in rebuttal to Greenwich's. and asking them why they haven't put in the fish screens that would avoid killing all the fish that they bring in through their intakes. Why don't they set up a cooling system so the water, and it can be done. It's too expensive for them, but they're making a lot of money on Bitcoin already, even before they do this big expansion. So they're making the money to do the things that would make them a good community member, but they're not doing those things. It's just it's maddening. So on the positive side of things, there is a conference coming up April 14th and 15th, the Finger Lakes Craft Beverage Conference. It's a virtual conference this year, and it's going to be in the afternoons, basically noon to 6 both days. It's only $75 to register, and as part of that registration, you'll get four beers to drink in the virtual tasting at the end of day one, and four ciders to taste in the virtual tasting on day two. Those are from Warhorse Brewing, the ciders, and two glasses. So again, those will be shipped to you if you register. And for $75, you're getting four beers and four ciders shipped to you. This is a great deal. And I think the beers and the ciders were donated, I would guess. So, you know, the people who register for this are the winners. It's a great deal. You do need to register by April 5th in order to guarantee delivery of your beers and cider. And you have to have someone over 18 to sign, or over 21 to sign for those. They can't go to a post office box. So just a couple of caveats to the shipping. But you can register up until April 15th. You just won't get those shipped to you if you register that late. And it's still a good deal. $75 for 2 days of these panels that they have planned, which really cover a wide range of things. They're going to have one panel on engaging with media, telling your brand's story, one on opening and expanding a brewery during a pandemic, and there's been a bunch opening, adapting your tasting room for post-pandemic visitors, attracting new visitors after the pandemic, a panel discussion with the leadership of New York State's craft beverage industry, what's next for hemp in New York State, and how to save time and make more money on social media. All of these part of this these 2 days of sessions, and also 10 mind-blowing tasting room data points. That's on the one of the last events on the first day, April 14th, and then afternoon of April 15th. So 2 days, and you know, a great way to learn more about the industry, even if it's not intended just for people who are, you know, thinking about opening a brewery or a cidery or a distillery or a meadery or a winery. It's I think a lot of these be interesting for the general public, and some really good people that are on these panels. Some you'll recognize, some you may not. But you might find really fascinating people. So sign up. You can go to Craft, or it's FLX Craft Bev Con, C-O-N, for conference.com, FLX Craft Bev Con.com. Make sure it's 2021 version, April 14th and 15th, and register. It's easy to do. And again, $75 gets you, four beers and four ciders shipped to your door, and you can do the virtual tasting with the ciders with Justin Policelli from Three Brothers Wineries and Estates, and they have Warhorse Brewing, and then the Pete Achilles, the head brewer at Three Brothers, is going to do the virtual beer tasting the first night. So, again, great bargain in education. And in the past, again, things like this were done only in person. And I think in the future, I would guess that there may always be a Zoom option for people who maybe can't get away from their business or can't travel that far, but want to participate. And, you know, this kind of craft beverage conference, people all over the country could participate in this. I mean, the information is not, well, other than the New York State regulations, which is just one session, this pertains to businesses all across the country, and that allows the organizers to make more money and bring in more people, and that's good for the presenters. That's raises the profile of the Finger Lakes. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to bring in, or if they're able to get registrations from outside of New York State for this craft beverage conference. Again, April 14th and 15th. And if you want details on anything you hear me mention, whether it's Bitcoin mining or, but please don't ask me to explain Bitcoin mining to you. It's crazy. The more research I do into it, the more it's got to make you wonder how sustainable it is to, you know, fully power a fracked gas power plant, depending on the future of Bitcoin mining, because they claim that that there's a certain number of coins that will be mined, and then they will shut the mining down. Of course, the scale of the industries that are into the mining, that does seem unlikely. But again, send me questions on things other than the actual Bitcoin mining, michael@saverlife.com. And let me know where you go and visit and tastings, maybe, or wines that you purchase and fall in love with from our local wineries. Arrowhead Spring Vineyards posted a gorgeous photo of their virtually new tasting room, just a year and a half old, and just north of Lockport. So pretty much any direction you drive from Rochester, you'll find some wonderful wines, beers, ciders, etc. And you can reach me, michael@saverlife.com. Have a great day. Enjoy this beautiful weather and happy spring. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's on saverlife.com.